Hello, and welcome to this episode of Love from St. Luke's, a podcast dedicated to exploring God's love as it's revealed in Scripture. I'm the Reverend Lauren Bloom, coming to you from St. Luke's Episcopal Church in beautiful Eastport, Annapolis. This week, we'll consider what Jesus meant when he told his disciples to pray always and not lose heart. We'll begin with a reading from chapter 32, verses 22 through 31 of the book of Genesis, followed by a reading from chapter 18, verses 1 through 8 of the Gospel of Luke. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with them. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to Jacob, "What is your name?" And he answered, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please, tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And then he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Here ends the reading. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" Here ends the reading. The parable of the widow and the unjust judge is short, sweet, and, in my opinion, frequently misinterpreted. Preachers tend to present this parable as an invitation, no, make that a direct order, from Jesus to drive his father straight up the wall whenever there's something we want. After all, if the widow was able to persuade that heartless judge to rule in her favor through sheer persistence, how much more will the Father give us if we just harass him long and hard enough? So go on. Shake your fists, stomp your feet, raise your voices, and rattle the pearly gates until the angels beg our Father to give you whatever your demanding little heart desires just to stop the racket. Show our Lord just how doggedly, determinedly, obnoxiously persistent you can be. That's how faithful Christians are supposed to pray, right? Clearly, I don't agree with that interpretation of this morning's parable, and I don't recommend that you try it. Our Father in heaven is kind, loving, and ever willing to forgive. And he's also immortal, eternal, and omnipotent, the ruler of the universe. I don't think the Father often hurls lightning bolts at irritating petitioners. That's more Zeus's kind of thing. But we are under explicit instructions not to tempt him. And besides, Jesus himself never seems to have badgered his Father in prayer. And when asked how we should pray, he told his followers to go into their closets and quietly recite the Lord's Prayer. That's hardly consistent with pestering our Creator like screaming toddlers. Still, Luke informs us that Jesus told this parable so the disciples would understand that they needed to pray always and not lose heart. Jesus wants us to be persistent in prayer. What, then, are we supposed to be persistent about? Our reading from the Hebrew Scriptures offers a clue if we put it in context. Jacob is Abraham's grandson, the younger of fraternal twins born to Isaac, that son of Abraham nearly sacrificed before Adonai's angel called him off. Jacob's slightly older brother Esau is a superb hunter and athlete, and not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer. As their father's favorite and the eldest son, Esau is entitled to Isaac's blessing and a double portion of his estate. But their mother, Rebekah, favors Jacob. With her help, Jacob takes advantage of his brother's voracious appetite and lack of impulse control, buying Esau's birthright inheritance with a bowl of well-seasoned stew. Later, Jacob tricks the blind, dying Isaac into giving him Esau's patriarchal blessing, and, wisely following his mother's advice, flees to her brother Laban's farm to escape Esau's fury. Jacob stays away for about 20 years, working for his uncle and marrying both of Laban's daughters while waiting for Esau to calm down. When we see him in this passage, Jacob and his wives have left Laban, and Jacob has just learned that Esau is marching their way with 400 heavily armed men. Terrified, Jacob divides his people and sends his servants ahead with several rounds of gifts for Esau in a desperate attempt to keep his bigger, stronger brother from gutting him like a lame gazelle. That's why Jacob is alone in the wilderness when a man whom we later learn is Adonai himself pulls him into an all-night wrestling match. Jacob holds his own in that struggle. He hangs on to Adonai even after his hip is dislocated, refusing to let go until the Father blesses him. He arises with a new name, a limp that he'll carry for the rest of his life, and a renewed, fearless spirit. Putting his family safely behind him, he goes out to meet his brother. Esau tearfully embraces him, all past wrongs seemingly forgotten. Jacob is still wary. He greets his brother with great deference and then persuades Esau to go on ahead, promising to follow with his household and stopping about 80 miles short of Esau's destination. It's a clever move from a man who is no longer fearful. Jacob's encounter with Adonai has given him the strength to prevail against whatever threat his brother might pose. With Jacob's story as background, let's revisit the widow and the judge. As the Reverend Dr. Amy Richter points out in her sermon, Widows, the judge finds the widow annoying, but Jesus does not. And as he makes clear, this judge is definitely not a stand-in for the father. The widow doesn't ceaselessly pray to Adonai to grant her justice, but she is very persistent in seeking justice from the judge. This parable suggests that the widow prays constantly to the Father not for results, but for strength to keep pressing her claim until she, like Jacob, prevails. Jesus tells the disciples this parable right after describing how the world will end. He knows they're in for a tough time. Almost all of them will die as martyrs, so they'll need all the fortitude that Adonai can give them. His choice to make his heroine a widow is telling. Although widows have little official standing in that patriarchal society, Jesus knows how tough they can be. His own mother is likely a widow at this point, and she'll accompany Jesus all the way to the cross, even after the disciples have fled in terror. With this parable, Jesus is asking his disciples to pray constantly for strength so they won't lose hope. I believe he asks the same of us. There's nothing wrong with asking the Father to take away our difficulties. There are some problems that only a miracle can solve. We have to remember, though, that he often won't, no matter how fervently we pray. Although I can't pretend to understand the mind of God, life has taught me that the process of fighting through our battles can make us better people. Jacob won his earthly father's blessing and his brother's share of the estate by trickery, not merit. 20 years of working for Laban, who was something of a trickster himself, started moving Jacob in a better direction, but it took a wrestling match with his heavenly father to really bring him around. The struggle probably wasn't much fun while he was going through it, and he came away with a permanent limp. He also came away transformed into the next patriarch of a singularly distinguished family, with Adonai's blessing and a God-given name reflecting his newly revealed worth. For both Jacob and the widow, the prizes they won made their battles worthwhile. Today, we face our own struggles, both personal and cultural. We can certainly ask the Father to save us from them. The Episcopal Book of Common Prayer contains many such petitions. But Jacob's story and this parable tell me that we should also pray constantly for the strength both to endure whatever challenges life throws at us and to win through to outcomes that glorify the Father and bring his kingdom closer. We should pray constantly for the courage never to lose heart, no matter what trials lie before us. And if we're persistent in those prayers, will Jesus find faith on earth when he returns? You bet he will. Amen. Now, please join me in a moment of prayer. Loving and gracious Father, you are steadfast in love and quick to listen when we pray. Make us persistent in prayer. Help us to hold tightly to your goodness, ever asking for your blessing. Teach us to pray always, as Jesus taught the disciples, seeking strength and courage to meet the challenges of our lives without ever losing heart. All this we ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We'll close this episode with a blessing written by the Reverend William Sloan Coffin. May God give you the grace never to sell yourself short, grace to risk something big for something good, and grace to remember the world is now too dangerous for anything but the truth and too small for anything but love. Thank you for listening. Go in peace until we meet again.